is consider verse 28 in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 at verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Well, there are various ways of going through this world. There is the way of righteousness. That is the way of life, the pathway of life. And there is no death in that way. And we would do well to consider what we have in the Word of God by way of direction. If you're going somewhere you have never gone before, you would need directions. You would be the better of a map, or at least directions of some kind. And we are certainly going where we have never gone before. As when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan, they were to go a way that they had not gone before. And so they got directions. And there are directions in the Word of God as to how to make our way through life. And may the Lord enable us to receive these directions and to walk according to these directions, so that we would get safely to the end of the road, so to speak, to get safely through this world, so that we may be afterward received into glory. Well, let us look first of all at the way of death. It's not specifically referred to, but it's implied. In the pathway of life, there is no death. We'll try and look at that first of all. And then there's the way of righteousness. And then there's the pathway of life. And the pathway of righteousness is the way of life. Or the way of righteousness is what you could also call the way of life, where there is no death. First, the way of death, then the way of righteousness, and finally to consider that way from another point of view, for it is the way of life. In the pathway of life, or the pathway of righteousness, there is no death. For the pathway of life is the same as the way of righteousness. But there's no death there. That's not the way of death. The way of death goes off in another direction. There are two ways that I want to consider death. There's spiritual death and there's eternal death. And spiritual death leads on to eternal death. And if we're on the way of death, if we were on the way of spiritual death, where there is no life, then we will end in spiritual death. Now these are solemn things. These are things that we need to take to heart. These are things that we need to pray over. These are things that should prompt us to seek the Lord and to seek the Lord earnestly. But Paul speaks about himself and others being on the way of death previously, being dead, as he puts it, dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, of course, the idea of death there doesn't imply no activity, but it's pointing to this. There is no holy activity. There is no spiritual activity. The activity is all in this sphere, trespasses and sins, using two different words for the same fundamental idea. Or, if we saw the extensiveness, the extensive reach of the law of God, we would see sin in far more than we do. We would see sin in everything that we would do. We would even see sin in our prayers, coming short of giving to God the honor and the glory that is due to it. And everything that comes short of perfection is sin. Now, it's not that it's a bad idea to sin, because then we'll commit more sin. Sorry. It's not that it's a bad idea to pray, for then we will commit more sins. But you see, if we don't pray, then that's more serious sin. And unless we come to Christ, there's sin everywhere. There's sin in every direction, as far as we are concerned. It's a case of being spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins, and having no capacity to do what is right, to do what is pleasing to God. No capacity to please God. And that's a serious thing. Now, in writing to Timothy, Paul speaks about widows, and there are godly widows. But he speaks about the one who lives in pleasure. She is dead when she is alive. You see Paul bringing these two things together. She is dead while she lives. As far as natural life is concerned, she is alive. We're all alive, whether we're spiritually alive or not. But there are those who are spiritually dead. She that liveth in pleasure and he that liveth in pleasure, they are dead. Though in natural terms they are alive, they're not in the grave, they're not in eternity. They're alive and doing various things, but as far as their relation to God is concerned, as far as spiritual activity is concerned, it's not there. There's no love to God, no faith in Jesus Christ, no repentance, nothing of these things. And that's to be in a very serious position. But notice, the person that Paul was referring to was the one that liveth in pleasure. What do people want to, what's their great desire for any day, for any year? It's to enjoy themselves. Now, I'm not suggesting that the best way of life is one where we would be sad all the time and where we would never enjoy ourselves. But you see, there's such a thing as making a god of pleasure. What should we be saying about every day and every year, every part of our life? What should we be saying? What should we most want? What should we most want to be true about ourselves? Man's chief end is to glorify God. And to enjoy him forever. To enjoy him. To get our pleasure in the service of God. That's spiritual life. To get our pleasure in the world and in the things of the world. And the pleasures of this world. Well, that's sinful. Sinful in principle. Sinful in every deity. whatever way people might be seeking and enjoying. If God is not in it, if it's just sin, then, oh, it's speaking of spiritual death, the way of spiritual death, where does it end? Well, assuming, excuse me, assuming that you have answered that question, but they will come back. Let us notice too that he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Vain persons who are spiritually dead. They're vain. They're empty. There's no solidity about them. Following flesh. Following the entertainers of this world, for instance. Vain persons. Oh, where will you find one among them that truly loves God, that truly trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ? But here's the verdict at verse 11. He that followeth after vain persons is void of understanding. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But if you waste your time, well, people have no sense. If when they should be tilling the land and sowing their seed or reaping their land at harvest or whatever is the present day equivalent. But let us give it a spiritual term. He that tilleth the land of his soul shall be satisfied with spiritual things. He that is seeking the Lord, he that is active spiritually, oh, he'll have plenty of bread for his soul and time and for in eternity. That's where it should be with us. To be seeking the Lord, to be earnest about seeking the Lord, to be spiritually active, may the Lord give us. May the Lord so take possession of. Of course, one thing that the Lord will do then is remove us from the way of death. But we'll come to that later. But to be following the example of those who are unconverted, as far as spiritual things is concerned, following them is to follow a bad example. To follow vain persons who haven't enough seriousness even to seek the Lord. To follow their example in the way that we spend our time. Well, that's to be foolish. Foolish with eternal consequences. Do you realize that? Time, and we'll get precious little of it. Time is to be used to the glory of God and for the good of our souls, and especially on a Sabbath. What will we do on a Sabbath? Well, you might have various rules, but can you sum up your rules in this? I must spend my time as far as possible to the glory of God. I mustn't waste it. I mustn't be thinking about worldly things. I must use my time as far as possible in things that would glorify God. And let us just begin with this, to seek the Lord when he may be found, and to call upon him, for he is near. Yes. Now, further back in Proverbs, at the end of chapter 8, it's a chapter where Christ is speaking. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Now, how do we sin against Christ in particular? Well, by rejecting. By unbelief. particularly when he is offered to us as if we had accosted in the way of death. Sinner, believe in me. That's what Christ is saying to you under the preaching of the gospel. That's in effect how it is. Christ accosting the sinner in the way of death. Sinner, believe. Sinner, receive the salvation that I have provided. Yes. Oh, sinner, here this evening, will you not receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not trust in him? And he that sins against Christ, he is saying, you're doing wrong to your own soul. You're damaging your prospects for eternity. You're throwing away another opportunity of finding Christ. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. If you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you hate him. Why else would you refuse him? Why else would you not believe in him? You're in line with death. You're on the way of death. He that sinneth against wrongeth his own soul. Now, we come back to this eternal death. And there was the man who was given one talent. He wasn't given two and he wasn't given five. Granted. But a talent was still a huge amount of money. And he said, instead of going to trade with it, I'll keep it safe. I'll wrap it up in a napkin and I'll bury it and all will be well, and when the man comes back I'll produce it. That wasn't good enough. He was to profit by his opportunities. And so are we. Are you seeking to profit by your opportunities this evening? Your opportunity of meeting with Christ. Your opportunity of finding the way of life. Finding the door to it. You should be seeking for that. Where is it? Well, it's Christ. But the point is just now, the one who did not trade with his talent, he could have at least put it to those who would make profit with it for it. As we would put money in a bank. Yes. But you see, because he refused to make use of his opportunity, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness, a lost eternity, where there is no hope. Oh yes. What did they just say? Who entered a lost eternity? Give up hope. If you're not in that position yet. But if you're on the way of death, well, day by day you get closer to lost eternity. What are we to say then first? There's a way of righteousness. Let us try and think through that to some extent. What is the way of righteousness? The way of righteous living. And the first thing we might say is, it's a way of obedience to the commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and so on. That's the way of righteousness. Living in obedience to the commandments. But we must be careful. And the first point is this. We cannot earn salvation by our own righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, Paul would say, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. We cannot earn our own salvation. We need the righteousness of another. Our own righteousness is not good enough. Yes. So we obviously need to seek salvation in someone else. And surely the answer to that is obvious. It must be through Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. To all kinds of men. To all kinds of people. The grace of God bringing salvation, it has appeared, Paul said. It's not just for the Jews now, it's for sinners everywhere, sinners of all kinds. The grace of God bringing salvation. Christ is the one who came into the world to save sinners. That's it. It has come, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope of Christ coming again. Now, that's how we're to live. But, you see, that commandment keeping must be based on receiving the gospel. The gospel of Christ, and Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, the mercy of God that I referred to a moment ago in the words of Paul, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. A new life, you see. If we're to be in the way of righteousness, if we're to be living a godly life, soberly, righteously, and godly, we must have new life. We cannot. We cannot go to heaven. We cannot walk in the way of righteousness. You see, everyone that is in the way of righteousness is righteous already. Imperfectly, maybe. Imperfectly, certainly. As far as they are in themselves. But you see, they are people that are looking to Christ and trusting in Him. They must have no confidence in themselves. Their confidence must be altogether in Christ Jesus. No confidence in the flesh, but living soberly, living with a restraint in our desire, a restraint in our words, a restraint in what we do. Now, what will provide the restraint? Well, two things. One, the commandments. And all the teaching that is in the Word of God as to how we should live. And two, a new life in our hearts. Yes. Way of righteousness. Those that are on that way, they're looking to Jesus. And they are living in the light of God's Word. Now, I mentioned widows, and Paul is speaking about widows, and I'm not going to refer to his main theme there, but just what he says, there was a contrast. I referred to the one who lived in pleasure. Now, That one was put in contrast with she that is a widow indeed. She trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Now there is some light on what it is to live a godly life. Then I referred to soberly. Perhaps I should just say that righteously may well refer to a relationship to other people, and godly to the way we live in relation to God Himself. But you see, here is godliness. Here is one aspect of godliness, or two aspects. One, she trusteth in God, taking God at His word, and in particular, taking God at His word in relation to salvation. Taking God at His word when He says, none perish that Him trust. Taking God at His word when He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Taking God at His word when He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And taking God at His word for the rest of that person's life, I will never leave thee nor forsake. Yes. And we must remember that it is to believers that that is said. To those who are already trust. Yes. She trusteth in God. Trusteth in God. And continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. There's something of prayerfulness throughout her waking hours. It is a great matter if we are able to give time to prayer. Now, some people may not be able to give huge amounts of time to prayer, though there are those who perhaps are past doing very much, and they may be on their own, but though they may be losing their sight and so on, still they're all in communion with God. They're praying for their family, they're praying for the people around them. They're praying for their congregation. They're praying for the whole world. Now you see, there's godliness. There's degrees in God. Continuing in supplication and prayer. Supplication will be the more, those parts of prayer where we're asking for things. Prayer more generally will include praising God. Acknowledging His greatness and His glory. But you see, this spending of time in spiritual prayer, it's the activity of somebody on the way of righteousness. It's a godly person. Now, it's not everyone, as I said, who is as free to spend time in prayer in one way, and yet there's many a thing that people can be doing which still allows them to pray. Whatever it is, about the house, whatever. And they can be praying. As the maid was saying, and I can't go through it to the extent that she did, but when she was I think it was in relation to the child or children that she was responsible for. When she was cleaning them, she would be asking, and probably not only for herself but for the children, cleanse thou me. When she was putting on their clothes, she would be asked that the Lord would put the robe of Christ's righteousness upon her, probably on them too. And so it went on, I'm sure, in connection with taking out food, and she would be asking that she would be enabled to feed on Christ. If she took a drink, she would want to be getting a drink from Christ himself. As Christ is inviting sinners in this way, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his fullness he will receive, and grace for grace. Ah well, what a provision there is in Christ. What a full provision, what a complete provision. And we're to be praying. We're to be asking for these things for ourselves. Yes? And those who are on the way of righteousness, they will be asking for these things. Now note verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Now, if we're speaking what is true in relation to God, then we're showing forth righteous things. If we speak of Christ as a Savior, we're showing forth the righteous provision that God has made for salvation. But perhaps we can understand it or apply it in this way. He that speaketh truth is showing that he is on the way of righteousness. He that saying what is true, and especially about God and about the things of God, is showing that he is living a godly life. Yes. But coming back to what I said already about our need for a righteousness that is not our own, we very much need the righteousness of Christ. Now at the end of 2 Corinthians 5, you find Paul speaking about Christ, that he who knew no sin, that is by experience, no sin. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, he says. For himself. For believers in Corinth. And so on. Made sin for us. Their sin was laid on Christ. Imputed to Christ. Which is saying the same thing. So that we, he says, might be made the righteousness of God in him, that the righteousness of God in Christ might be imputed to us, so that it would be safe for us, Paul is saying, who have believed, to come into the presence of God, and we may not need to say it, but let us just put it that way. The sinner to whom the righteousness of Christ has been made of can come into the presence of God and would have the right to say, my sin has been taken away, there's nothing left. And the Lord is to look upon as united to Christ, as one who has his righteousness. Oh, that it is written in the book of God, as it were. All that was against him in the book of God has been scored out. It has been blotted out by the blood of Christ. And what is there? Oh, noted against that person's name there is this. The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to him. Yes, And in relation to that, you see, the Lord has been observing that person walking in the way of righteousness. Oh, may we be asking for that. May we be earnestly asking, may I be that person. Well, look to Christ. Look to him as the one who has provided these things for needy sinners, and take them. They've been put before you. The forgiveness of sin has been set before you. The righteousness of Christ has been put before you. Take it, sinner. Oh, may the Lord make you willing. Yes. But oh, you have a responsibility. Remember that. You have a responsibility to use the means that God has provided. You are responsible to make use of the means, to make use of the Bible, to make use of the throne of grace. You are responsible to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. May the Lord speak powerfully to our souls, that we would feel the outneed of his righteousness, that we might be made willing, yes, to live righteously and godly in this present world, but particularly to receive the provision that God has made, to receive it by faith. Receiving the testimony that God is giving us in connection with these things. To take him as true, as speaking true, as speaking the truth in every detail. Yes. And Paul tells the Galatians, we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, that's important. Justified by the faith of Christ. What does that say? Now, those who have believed, they're justified. That God is treating them as if they had never sinned. That God is treating them as being perfectly righteous. How does that come about? Oh, it's by faith. By faith receiving Christ as a great and a glorious Savior. None perish that trust in him. That's the assurance that we have. None perish that trust in Christ. Yes. Justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. How can we be justified by the works of the law? Many a one has thought that or hoped that. Oh, I must try harder, they have said, to themselves at any rate. But what did that amount to? Supposing they had been successful, what would it amount to? Just to this, that they would sin less than they were used to doing. That they would commit fewer sins than before. Not that they would be perfect. And that's the standard. Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what the Savior was saying to his disciples. Oh, we'll never succeed at that. However serious we might be, however diligent we might be, we'll never succeed if that's the stand. And it is the stand. Oh, we need the righteousness of another. Ah, and there is the righteousness of another. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's a provision made for sinners like us, that we might receive. Yes. And the people of God are continue in the way of righteousness. Now, when I describe it as the way of righteousness, although I've been stressing perfect righteousness, there's no one perfectly righteous in themselves. But still, you see, they're living in a righteous way. They're living in a godly way. They're seeking to keep the commandments. That's their desire. And they're to go on in that way, seeking that the Lord would keep them, you see, looking unto Jesus. Yes, they're to lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily beset them, looking unto Jesus. That's it. Looking unto Jesus, going on looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith. Now, in the final place, we've been considering the way of righteousness. Now let us consider it as the way of life. The way of spiritual life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. No death. It's the way of life. They've got spiritual life. I was referring to the end of Proverbs chapter 8. Well, the second last verse is this. Remember, it's Christ speaking. Whoso findeth me findeth life. The seeking soul, when he finds, or when she finds, what do they find? They find life. You might be looking for many a thing, looking for forgiveness, looking for deliverance from eternal destruction. But what do they find? They find life. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. The person in the way of life is God's favor. Yes. They are united to Christ. They are safe in the way of life. There is no death. You see, God, who is rich in mercy, as Paul puts it, where he is now in the way of life, God, who is rich in mercy, he says, for his great love wherewith he had loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, has brought us alive, made us alive in union with Christ. Yes? God has made us alive, you see, in union with Christ. And so that is true of us. If we are on this way, we have been made alive. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the sinner, putting life into that soul. Now there is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is repentance unto life. Now there is love to God. Now there is a degree of zeal for his cause, and so on. Yes. They're on the way of life. Now, I mentioned means, but let me mention it again in relation to the second part of verse 15. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now you see, if we're going to walk in the way of life and get to the eternal life that is at the end of the journey, then we must hearken to wise counsel, not the companionship of fools, not to be right in one's own eyes. I meant to mention that, but it slipped my attention at the time. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But you see, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We must listen to the counsel that comes through the Word of God. The counsel that God is giving. Now, obviously, I think, as far as any one of us is concerned, we would say, yes, if God speaks, that's something worth listening to. But are we really listening to it? Are we really so taking it in that it influences how we think? Does it so influence us that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's a question which I leave with you. Paul listened to Christ's counsel when he met him on the road to Damascus. And so he could say, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified, I was there. I was there in the mind of Christ, who was dying for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm on the way of life, he might say. Yet, not I. I'm not the source of that life. But Christ liveth in me and in union with me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what's foundational to going in the way of life, that we would be looking unto Jesus, that we would be trusting in him. Yes? Looking unto Jesus. Paul, living by faith. I'm in the way of life, you might say. And why was that? Oh, it's Christ. And by God's grace, I am trusting in Christ. I'm not my own. It's this, Christ. Christ is the great and glorious Saviour. Now, in the pathway thereof, there is no death. No death in the way of life. And in connection with that, you have at verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, to the righteous. No evil. Nothing that is really going to do them harm. You may look at a particular individual and you may say, oh, that was a tragedy. A near relative died. Wasn't that an evil? Not in the sense of moral evil, but in the sense of what seems to do us harm. But in the pathway thereof there is no death. You see, this explains it. All things work together for good to them that love God. Particular things in themselves may be harmful. They may cause sadness. They may cause deep sadness. But you see, if we're on the way of life, if we're on the way of righteousness, what seems so sad, and no doubt there was sadness in it, but what seems so damaging, it works with other things for the person's good, especially their spiritual good. And many a disappointment people have had, and certainly God's people, and when they look back they see that it delivered them from some danger. It delivered them from some spiritual danger. It was the means whereby they got some good. The Lord is ruling. He is in control of everything. Yes. All things work together for good. But what about death? Do believers not die? In the pathway thereof there is no death. Well, it's not including the death of the body. There'll be no death to the soul. There's a separation from the body, but that's temporary. And by that death, they continue. They've been on the way of life, and they reach the point of parting with their body for the time being. And that just leads them into heaven. The blessedness of heaven. And there's this too. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also that even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Notice the word sleep. It's temporary. You don't, if somebody goes up to bed, you look in round the door, or they're asleep. But you don't mean by that that there's anything permanent about it. They're going to waken in the morning, you expect. Well, there's a morning coming. The morning of the resurrection. And those that sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. That's how it's going to be. And so we might take up words from the Epistle to the Romans that sum up a great deal of what we've been saying. But now, says Paul, being made free from sin, that is, from the dominion of sin at that stage, and become servants to God. They're no longer servants to sin, or slaves to sin might give a better picture. They're the slaves to God, though use slaves in that context, it rather gives the idea of a lack of freedom, which is not right. But anyway, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. There's evidences of spiritual life, you see. Like the one that was a widow indeed, she was trusting in God and continuing supplications and prayers night and day. That was fruit unto holiness. Fruit of spiritual life. And the end. You have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. Well, where does that leave us? What way are you on? As we approach the end of a year, it may be a time to be looking at things. People in business may, at the end of the year, certainly at the end of their financial year, they will be making up their accounts. Are we examining how things are with us? What way are we on? Are we on the way of life, the way of righteousness? Or are we on the way of death? And what the Savior was saying was this: enter ye in at the straight gate, into the way of life, the straight gate. It's narrow. We'll not get into it with our sins. We must be willing to give up our sins. Yes, enter in at the straight gate. Enter in at Christ. Come in, Christ is said. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, enter in at the straight gate. Come to Christ as the one who died for sinners, who rose again. Enter in there at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the way of death. Oh, we need to get out of that way. There's one way to enter in that is safe. A safe way through life. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that are finding it. Well, few though they be. And someone said something like this: however few there are, I must be one of them. Well, you seek to be one of them too. Oh, you might say, where is the straight gate? Ask the Lord to show you. Receive his testimony and you will see the straight gate. Receive the testimony by faith that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, enter in at the straight gate. It's not, oh yes, but it's exact. It's not too small for anyone. No one has tried to get in seriously and believingly and has found the gate too narrow. It's not too narrow. Come then. Come to Christ before it will be too late. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray.